at 10 a.m. on CFRC.
Hey, Charlie, table 26 wants a hot alphabet soup!
Hey, everybody, it's Terry.
Good afternoon, and Sherry.
And it's Thursday, 4 o'clock, we're back.
And this is 30 Years of Nonsense.
It is indeed. And so, I can't believe the week has come and gone already. I gotta be honest, what a quick week today, this week.
Yeah, we're all very busy, just back into the thick of things after the holidays and after a nice vacation. And it just seems to be a carousel of time and things, and we're just running again.
Yeah, it's crazy. I can't believe how busy it's been. Our show this week is all about things that we want to do, right? Concerts we want to see. So it's basically our bucket list.
Yes, you decided that we were going to do, you did decide.
I did. Well,
that we were going to do bucket list concerts.
Yeah, so it's been, you've been doing the show for the last few weeks. So I figured I would jump in and give a hand.
Okay. I don't know where this is going. This is just weird.
No, I know, but it's funny because for the last few days, I've been asking everybody what's their bucket list.
You asked our waiter the other day.
I did. And then he went and got a friend.
Right.
Who came and had a full-on conversation at the restaurant. So she went into detail about
she was passionate about her music.
Oh, she
went to Mesa Fresca the other night, which is fantastic, by the way. So shout out to Mesa Fresca.
Yeah, I had their...
You had a burger that you were very excited about. It was very
burger
good.
Burger and fries and their aioli dip. It was amazing. I was really, really excited.
We should do restaurant reviews. We like to eat.
I do. Well, I'd just go Italian. It'd be my choice in loaf and ale.
Typically your go-to place. At any rate, we were chatting even with our friends and our family and the restaurant staff about bucket list concerts, the must-see before they finished their list, and then we decided that we would sit down. I had to actually really think about it. And so we made it a little bit more fun in that we said living or dead.
Well, yeah, because there's some band, bucket list for me, it's things I'm never, or maybe I will get to do, but some of them, it's the bands that you're never going to get to see, right? So that's how I kind of perceived it. Because I'm never going to get to see the Beatles and they're on my list. I mean, I can go see the other bands or some of the bands. Like, we could go see Taylor Swift. I know she's your bucket list number one.
She's not. It was just top of mind. She's not the top of my bucket list.
Really?
It was top. You were pressuring me to come up with a bucket list and I didn't have one. So I just defaulted to Taylor Swift. I wanted to be cool.
All right. Well,
that's not true. I actually would have enjoyed seeing the Eras tour. It was very popular and I saw lots of clips of it. And I would love to have been a part of it.
You saw the movie too, right?
Most of it.
Yeah. Well, you see the most of every movie,
I don't
right?
see all of any
you
movie.
You see the beginning and then you sleep and then you wake up and go, no, I just had my eyes closed for a little bit. And then you watch the rest of it.
Yeah. No, I saw enough of it to know that I enjoyed it. And you were pressuring me.
Well, it's important.
Then I got more creative, though, when we decided it could be someone who is dead, because then I could think about time traveling.
Yeah.
So by means of an example, we said, and later we're going to discuss it in detail, but I would love to have seen the Beatles because I would love to have been a part of the hype and been a part of that Beatlemania and the culture and the insanity around that would have just been fun and cool.
And which is crazy because the only thing I can really associate Beatlemania to is Taylor Swift. I don't think there's been anybody.
Well, some people
Elvis.
But the younger generations would say, oh my God, the Jonas Brothers were our Elvis, were our Beatles, or
I don't
New
think
Kids
so.
On the
not,
Block. Or,
not to the degree that Taylor Swift has been. I mean, she has literally changed the planet.
Well, yes, she has. So would you like to talk about our facts for her? Because she is the first one that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So you kick it off because she's really yours.
Well, first of all, I respect and admire her for her staying power. And she has, grown up with us all in the public eye. And she has not gone astray like many of the young child stars do that I'm aware of. Anyway, she has a clean reputation for the most part. She's older than I thought she was. And I'm not going to quote it, but I did recently look it up. And she's well into her 30s. And she's still singing about high school heartbreaks. So that kind of surprises me a little bit, but she is older than we think she is. And this Eras tour actually was like an economic boom to the cities that she came to and literally did amazing things for the economy. And I don't remember what city it was, maybe you do, but our kids were somewhere in the US the weekend that there was a Taylor Swift concert and a Blue Jays game. Remember?
Seattle.
Was it Seattle?
Yeah.
And they said it was messed up. Like the entire town was messed up traffic wise, and you couldn't get into restaurants, you couldn't get hotels, and you had to pay way more than you should have. So it, I mean, she definitely did great things for the economies.
She's 35 years old.
I know. I told you.
Well, I know, but it wasn't on the sheet.
But you didn't believe me?
No, not that I didn't believe you, but then you made me think like I should look it up. But it's funny. The picture they have of her, she looks like a child in it. Like she's 17 or something getting her first award. Yeah, born December 13th,
1989. Yeah, so she's much older than you think she is. She's way older.
Yeah, yeah. So her singing about, you know, her childhood heartbreak, it's kind of weird, actually.
Well, also, some of those songs are older, but I still, that's her demographic, obviously. At any rate, we're just talking about the Eras Tour. Interesting thing is the concert film, so the Eras movie, was the highest grossing concert film of all time.
Yeah, but look at the amount of money this concert. The Eras Tour was the highest grossing tour of all time, earning over $2 billion.
Yeah, good for her.
That's insane.
Now, it's better than the economies of some countries.
But I think the Eras Tour was, what, 2 years in the making? Like 2 years to complete?
Oh, yeah, she's right? Got like, to how have long been did exhausted. It take?
Right.
I actually watched an interesting piece on how she stays healthy and energized enough to just do that grueling performance every single day, because we're always looking for energy. We don't always get it in the cleanest forms because we always usually take it in a can of Monster energy drink. And I'm pretty sure Taylor Swift doesn't do that. But she has to eat healthy and be hydrated. And she basically does like a 4-hour show. And there's a lot of tricks and magic to it and all sorts of things.
So it began, it was 21 months the tour ran for. It began March 17th in Glendale, Arizona, and concluded in Vancouver, British Columbia, on December 8th, 2024. And there was 149 shows across five countries or continents.
So I hope she's That's somewhere resting now.
Yeah.
Resting on her money.
That's crazy. So she's way up in the sky.
Yeah, she doesn't have to work for a while. I'm pretty sure she's okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it was very interesting. So let's go ahead and play our first song. I picked Love Story because it is one of my favorite and it reminds me of another time when our kids were younger. And so let's go ahead and play Love Story.
Okay.
You were Romeo, you were throwing pebbles in my dad. caught you on the outskirts of town, and I said, roll me or save me. I've been feeling so alone. I keep waiting for you, but you never come. Is this in my head? I don't know what to think. He knelt to the ground and pulled out a ring and said, marry me, Juliet. You never have to be alone. I love you, and that's all I really know. I talk to your dad, go pick out a white dress. It's a love story, baby, just say yes. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. 'Cause we were both young when I first saw you.
Down the short set of stairs, join me, Grim, in the basement for my working knowledge of indie, experimental, post-punk, and electronic, every Wednesday from 10 until 11 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Get ready to press record.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel neglected or unloved? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
All right, we are back, guys.
So let's talk about Elvis.
Yeah, so let me adjust my headphones here. I can't hear things all that
great. You want to hear Elvis.
I do want to hear Elvis, but I want to hear me too. So...
Well, you are the king of this room. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about all this.
Okay. Well, I am a fan. I am a curious fan. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Okay.
What are you doing?
You're talking sideways. You're okay. Not actually talking into the mic.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry, listeners. Apparently, yeah. I was not talking into the mic. I am a curious fan, like I was saying. So I don't know everything about Elvis. So I apologize to all the Elvis fans out there. However, I am curious enough to say that I would like to be able to time travel and go back and see him in concert, see what it was all about. I absolutely get that he was a handsome man. And I get that he could certainly shake his hips and he had a lovely smile. I have seen lots of photos of him and lots of video of him dancing. And so I'm curious about it. So I would like to go back and experience that for the time that it was. And then doing some research, I learned some new things about him.
So here's a question though, before you even talk about the research, did you watch the Elvis movie? Or just bits
of it.
Some of it. Yeah. Okay.
There's a theme here with me watching some of the Elvis movie.
This is funny. So I think you really need to watch the whole thing and see the whole thing and kind of see how manipulated he really was.
Yeah, didn't
was.
They depict his manager as not the greatest guy?
Oh, he was a terrible person. But again, it...
Allegedly.
No. I guess allegedly I wasn't there. I didn't time travel to see him. But yeah, from all intents and purposes... based on the movie, he was not a good person.
Right. Yes, I got that.
And he was, I guess Elvis was pretty simple in terms of like not knowing contracts and all those types of things. And I think, you know, you rely on the people in the industry or your manager to help you along. And he really took advantage of him if you believe everything that the movie states, right?
Right. Which is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay. We know you haven't seen the whole movie, so maybe that can be our homework, is watch the whole movie and then we can talk about it.
I don't know about that, but we'll just go into some of my facts. So I didn't know, something people may know, but I didn't know that Elvis was born as an identical twin and he had a brother that unfortunately only lived for 35 minutes.
His brother's name was Jesse.
It was Jesse, so that's unfortunate. He was also born a natural blonde, but his hair darkened as he got older in about his late teens, and he was famous for like that jet black hair, so I can't even picture him being a blonde.
I also had dark hair. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't remember you ever having dark hair. You had light hair, and now you have white hair.
Yeah,
but you've had white hair since we were in our 30s.
No, was it that late? I thought it was in my 20s.
It might have been in your 20s.
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
It was in my 20s.
Yep.
My hair just went white. But he was born on January the 8th, 1935. So he would be up here, you know, be up there right now. He'd be well into his 80s.
Yeah, well, he may be. If the conspiracy theorists have it right, maybe he didn't pass. I don't know if anybody has any insider information on that one, but that's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, he's working at a Harvey's. Maybe. Actually, he'd be 90.
Okay, he could still be working at Harvey's.
Yeah.
I also don't think he's short on money.
Yeah, no.
He was formerly trained in karate because he loved movement, which you could obviously see reflected in his dancing, and that he was drafted into the Army in 1958. So I remember seeing photos of that as well.
Yeah, and then he came back and he did all those kind of cheesy movies too, right? Like the Elvis movies.
Like the beach movies.
Yeah, where he's singing in Hawaii and stuff. And
those were good.
Yeah, I don't know if they were good. I don't know if they were good, but well, I mean, he did a lot of like cheesy movies.
Well, maybe that was at the guidance of his manager who was just trying to cash more checks. I don't know. Again, right. I wasn't there. However, something I do think is interesting, given that I'm in the real estate world, he purchased Graceland in 1957 for $102,000. Yeah. And $102,000 in 1957 was a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of money. I'm sure Graceland is worth a lot of money now.
Yeah.
However, I'm just saying that that was a lot of money even back then. He had his one child, so he had Lisa Marie, and he only ever won 3 Grammy Awards, which is pretty interesting given the hype and hysteria around him. He also was inducted into 5 Halls of Fame, so he was inducted into the Rock and Roll, Country, Gospel, Rockabilly, and R&B Hall of Fames, and all of his 3 Grammys were for gospel music. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, he was a big gospel singer. I mean, that's where his bread and butter was, really, right? And I was looking up some stuff about him. How many movies did he actually have? Do you know?
No.
31 feature films.
That's a lot of movies.
And then 2 theatrical released concert documentary films about him. But 31 feature films, that's a lot.
He must have been exhausted.
Yeah, he did a ton of stuff. He died August 16th. 1977. So he didn't have he died at 42, I think, right?
Yeah
42 years old.
And he wasn't in good shape when he died. But on a happier note, the other interesting fact I wanted to share was that he only performed in Canada 3 times, which is pretty interesting. He performed in Ottawa, Vancouver, and Toronto. And that was it.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Interesting, eh? For how much. I know a lot of people. I had a client last year who was a huge Elvis fan. He had an entire man cave that was full of Elvis paraphernalia. I wanted to buy his jukebox, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
It was very cool.
I DJ'd a wedding one time where the actual minister was an Elvis impersonator. And it was crazy. The guy literally, he dressed as Elvis and he was like, he did the whole kind of Elvis persona while he was doing the marriage.
Well, people are into that. People go to Vegas and get married by Elvis.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Collingwood has the biggest Elvis festival in Canada.
Yeah.
And he was a pretty big performer there. And he was fat Elvis. Like he wasn't the skinny Elvis.
Older Elvis.
Older Elvis,
as opposed to young Elvis.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't skinny. This guy was peanut butter and jelly Elvis.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's pretty funny.
Okay, let's play.
Yeah, Return to Sender.
Yeah. That's a good one.
It is. Come on. Thought I wasn't having technical difficulties here today.
Maybe we're not playing Return to Sender.
Well, maybe we're not. Hang on.
Return to Sender. I gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back. She wrote upon it, return to sender, address unknown, no such number, no such zone. I write, I'm sorry, but my letter keeps coming back. So when I dropped it in the mailbox, I sent a special D. Bright and early next morning, it came right back to me. She wrote upon it, return to sender. Such
Carson. No such zone. This time I'm gonna take it myself and put it right in her hand. And if it comes back the very next day, then I'll understand.
We're riding on it.
Return to sender. Address unknown. No such number. No such zone.
I feel like that's the Canada Post theme song.
Well, I was thinking about how quick that would make the mail service if he put it in the mailbox and it came right back the next morning. That would be really efficient mailbox service.
I have to laugh because I was looking up a little bit about the length of songs for Elvis, and it said average song is 3 to 5 minutes for Elvis. I don't think I know any songs of his that aren't remixed that are over 3 minutes. I really don't.
Though that was only two.
Yeah, that's a 2 minute 8 or yeah, 2 minutes. Yeah. 2 minute and 8 second song. So I laughed because I was doing that. I was looking it up while the song was playing because I was like, "There's got to be an average song." And they were saying, you know, the average song and for Elvis was 3 to 5 minutes. And then since 1990, the average single has kind of decreased from 3 to 5 to 3 to 4. I got to believe that his songs are all under three. And now I'm going to take that as a personal
research project
to confirm how many songs he has over 3 minutes, because I don't know of any. And most of his songs, actually, they were saying were on 45s, which allowed, because of the speed of the record, right? It was 45 RPM. That allowed them to actually go put that much more on a single on a 45.
Right.
Right? So interesting, as opposed to a 78. But I don't know if any singles were really on 78s. They were more full-size LPs at that point. All right, I digress.
Okay, DJ, technical details.
Yeah, I'm kind of going down a rabbit hole there about it.
You were just actually thinking out loud is what you were doing.
I was, actually. I really was.
That's okay. So let's talk about the Beatles again on our list of people we would like to see if we could time travel.
I would love to have seen the Beatles.
Yeah, it would. So would you have seen them in North America or in Europe?
I would have loved to see them in England.
Okay.
Or Ireland, just somewhere on the beach. Kind of like the movie Yesterday, you know, where the guy,
yeah.
Where they...
I saw most of that one. I still didn't see all of it.
I love that movie. So that movie is basically the premise is the Beatles never existed. Or it was like kind of an alternate universe where they didn't exist in it, but some people knew about them. And this guy started to play their music and nobody knew who the Beatles were. So he kind of took them on all the songs on as his own. And he becomes this huge sensation.
It was a very cool premise for a movie.
It was
like very
unique. Really
unique
premise for a movie. And I loved the fact that, you know, it was kind of like, it wasn't Beatlemania at that point. It was this guy. And, It was really, really well done. And there was like a family kind of following him around, or a couple of people following him around. And they knew that the Beatles still existed and
right.
stuff. So, yeah, it was a pretty neat thing. But I would really have loved to seen the Beatles. Now, growing up, when I lived in Ajax as a kid, I had these two friends that were brothers, and they were massive Beatles fans. One of them was kind of that tinfoil conspiracy theory Beatles fan, like everything about, you know, playing the records backwards.
And
you can hear the songs, you know, playing the walrus is Paul, and all sorts of, you know, Paul killed, you know.
Yoko.
Yeah. It was crazy. And then, you know, watching that, you know, in Abbey Road, where one of them's got bare feet, and there was just so much conspiracy around it, and just playing Strawberry Fields backwards. Like, every day he had something new in the conspiracy theory of the Beatles. I was like, dude, I just want to listen to their music, man. Like, I came over here to listen to their music and watch a little Family Ties. And that was it, right? Or Facts of Life.
You definitely dated yourself.
Yeah,
there. Absolutely.
But that's literally what it was. So these two brothers were just a huge Beatles fans. And I remember when I first got my first Beatles CD, I got the red one and the blue one. And that was probably a Columbia House thing, I got to be honest. But
a CD
yeah.
or an LP?
No, I got it on CD. So I didn't buy their stuff on vinyl at all. And if I did have vinyl, it would have been my dad's.
Yeah, I remember having the vinyl around our house.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been mine. Like, I didn't really DJ Beatles songs. And what's really interesting, we were talking about before we went on the air, was the biggest song that I played of the Beatles wasn't even theirs. It was Twist and Shout, right? So it was their cover. It was a cover song that they did. And when I think back to like the number one album, so it's the Beatles' number one hits, it's not on there. Because it is probably their most popular song that they didn't write, but they did cover it, and it never went to number one. It went to number two on the charts, so it never made it onto their number one's album, which is kind of unique for being probably the most requested Beatles song I ever get. And then followed by that is Here Comes the Sun.
Love that song, which I think is the one we're going to play.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
We're not there yet, but I do love this song. It's such a nice, happy song.
I get this a lot for wedding ceremonies, just kind of in the prelude or just after in the postlude, I guess, or whatever, just right after the ceremony. Yeah, people just love that song. And I think it's a really nice song. I mean, they have some really good tunes.
Oh, for sure. Do you want to hear some facts about them?
Yeah, let's talk about them.
Okay, the term Beatlemania first appeared in the Daily Mirror on October 15th, 1963. They first appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show in February 1964. So before you or I.
Yeah, yeah.
They were on the Ed Sullivan Show. Their first U.S. single was I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Yeah, but look at how many people watched that show.
73.4 million people.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, I think that was also at the height of TV.
That's how many people listen to our show. That's crazy.
That's not true. I'm pretty sure there's not 74 million people listening to our show. That was at the height of TV. I think TVs were still newer.
Well, I think the Ed Sullivan Show was probably where everybody congregated at night.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, there wasn't a ton of channels, right? Like, you think about the amount of channels we have at our fingertips.
Oh, too many.
7,000, which is crazy to say that. But we have 7,000 channels available. We'll never watch them all, but there's 7,000 channels available on our TV.
Make it stop.
But they literally had probably like, let's think about it, CBS, NBC, ABC, PBS.
It wasn't even Fox or CNN back then. There was no news channels.
No. But they would have had probably their local version of a Fox, like a local channel, like Fox 29. I remember that out of Buffalo, right? I used to get that on my UHF when I had little rabbit ears on my black and white TV when I was a kid. But yeah, they didn't have Fox News per se. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. So those four kind of major television networks, so NBC, ABC, and CBS, so three, yeah. I guess. And one of them had the Ed Sullivan Show on at night, and that's the one 73.4 million people watched. That's crazy.
That's a lot of people. It's obviously they had the captive audience of North America. And the Beatles were a big thing, so I'm sure it was one of his highest rated shows, which was fantastic. They actually kind of set that culture for fandom, I guess I would call it. And literally the whole Beatlemania culture was female led. So interesting, because obviously there was a lot of female fans, and just that whole, I don't know what the word is, just the whole obsession with them and cult following.
Right?
Yeah, they were a boy band. I would never have thought of them as a boy band. I wouldn't categorize them that way, but they were one of the original boy bands. And it's interesting because it is just a global phenomenon that is unprecedented.
So who do you think the first boy band was?
I don't know. Anybody before the Beatles?
Well, they actually say it's the Jackson 5.
Okay, well, they were
from the
all
late
boys.
60s. But what's funny is they talk about that, but I'm not sure that's the case. So they talk about the 60s. So you had the Jackson 5, the Osmonds.
Yeah.
The Monkees.
Yep.
And then the Beatles.
What about the Beach Boys? We never talk enough about the Beach Boys.
Well, I think they'll come along a little bit later.
Okay.
But yeah, no, that's interesting that. And I guess the Beach Boys would have been a boy band in the 60s as well, because they were a 60s band for sure. But yeah, for them to be considered a boy band. And I thought the Osmonds did they not have...
Well, they had Marie.
Yeah, so they can't...
But I think it was like the Osmonds and then there was Donnie and Marie.
Yeah, okay.
So I think they might have been separate entities. Not 100% sure. But let's go ahead. We're eating up some time here. So let's go ahead and play Here Comes the Sun.
Okay, let's do that.
And I say it's all right.
Absolutely, right back to the 70s.
Yeah. Well, not for me.
Well, 70s in my memory. It probably was released earlier than that, but that's when I remember hearing
it. Oh, no. For me, it's literally early 80s.
Why?
Because that's when I listened to the song mostly, right? With my friends.
Okay.
On their dad's turntable in their house after school. So, but that song for me is like, it's a time traveler for sure. I loved that song.
It can transport you immediately back to another time and place.
Absolutely. So let's talk about Nirvana, because that's the next band we're gonna play today. What's interesting about this is I came up with this song, or Nirvana, basically from hanging out with Colin on Monday. We're at the gym, we're working out, and I asked him what's his bucket list band of all time. And he didn't take any time. He was like, Nirvana. And I was like, oh.
Wow, it took me 3 days to come up with Taylor Swift.
Yeah, he was like, Nirvana.
Maybe Colin should be your partner.
Well, it's funny. He was like, and I'm like, why? And he goes, because I never got to see them play, and it would have been a great band. Because they have some really good music, right? But when you think about it, I agree with him. So I've seen the Foo Fighters, and when we were talking to that waitress night before last in Mesca Fresca, she said, when we said, what's your favorite or bucket list artist? She said, Foo Fighters. And I said, well, you can go see them anytime. I'm looking for an artist. Well, I shouldn't have said bucket list. What's a band you can't see that you would have loved to have seen? And I said, well, what about Nirvana? And she was like, no, that's fine. I just want to see the Foo Fighters. And I was like, well, you can go see them anytime they're in tour. So I don't know if they're touring again or whatever, but she had said she'd seen them, but she just loved them that much. But for me, for Nirvana, I would have loved to seen them. I love that whole grunge style music when it was kind of in its peak. There was a ton of great bands that came out of that. Stone Temple Pilots, you know, which we really liked. We loved that song, Plush. That was one of our favorite songs in the 90s. But it's funny. So when, you know, and you did a bit of research again on these bands, I had no idea where their name Nirvana came from. And basically it looks like Kurt Cobain chose it because he wanted it to be nicer or pretty instead of some raunchy punk name, which is kind of cool. I don't know what Nirvana, like I get Nirvana, like that's meant to be an Oasis or whatever, your Nirvana. And that's kind of neat. Their first single obviously was a cover, Smells Like Teen Spirit. So that, again, I didn't know that wasn't their song. And apparently the song comes from a joke that Kurt Cobain didn't even get. So they just came up with that. I didn't know much about them beyond, like, I've played their stuff at weddings and people request it a lot. And they get played a lot in the 90s. Like, their stuff gets played a ton in the 90s. And Smells Like Teen Spirit gets played so much. What I didn't know is they only ever received one Grammy. And that was out of 7 nominations. And in 2023 is when they got it. And they received an award, a Lifetime Achievement Award. And so they never got anything for all the stuff that they did. Now, also learned that VH1, which is kind of the, I guess it's the music video show in the States, kind of like Much Music is up here. So they ranked Nirvana number 42 greatest artist of all time in rock and roll. That's kind of cool. And then the other thing is, I didn't know that they did this. Again, I must have been out DJing. Nirvana kissed each other live on camera on SNL in an attempt to silence homophobia, which is kind of cool. I like that too.
My first one that I remember like that was Britney and Madonna kissed. Didn't Britney and Madonna kiss on like a Grammy show or something like that?
And Christina Aguilera, wasn't there?
Well, like, she might have been in there too.
Yeah, there was something going on.
There was some stuff going on, but I do remember that being a thing back then.
So, and here's where I go back to the super talented. So here again, Kurt Cobain, it says Cobain started singing age 2. So right around that Ed Sheeran thing, that whole thing, like right from day 1, this kid is super talented and is singing at age 2. Now his first job, he worked as a janitor in a high school, and then he also worked as a swimming instructor for preschoolers.
Wow, interesting.
So I can't believe that he did all those things, but because I just think about the music he played and how great he was. But again, it's probably that 10,000 hours thing. So let's play The Man Who Sold the World, and I think this is a live version. Yeah, it's the MTV Unplugged version we're going to play. But yeah, great song, great band. Here we go.
We passed upon the stairs, spoken wasn't well, although I wasn't there, said I was his friend. Surprise, I spoke into his eyes. I thought you died alone a long, long time ago. Oh no, not me. We never lost control. The face to face. We marked a million hills. I must
must have died alone, a long, long time ago. Who knows? Not me. I never lost control. Your face to face with another soul.
That wasn't for us, I don't think.
No, it wasn't.
No. Great song. I didn't know that wasn't the end of the song and it continues on after the applause, but we
that was
got
enough
it.
Of that. We got a lot of other things
yeah,
to
we
say.
Do. So let's talk about what's going on this weekend.
We're very busy.
Yeah, we are. It's insane.
Okay, well, why don't you talk about tomorrow night at Loaf and Ale to start?
Yeah, so tomorrow night, Loaf and Ale, let me tell you, I'm really excited. There's a lot of teams that have been reaching out to get back in and start playing, so I'm excited. I think it's going to be packed tomorrow
night. Yeah, make your reservations because we both have the Stage One Sound Facebook account on our phones, and my phone was pinging off the hook yesterday.
It was blowing up, like people like, hey, I need a booth. Hey, I need a booth. I'm like, hey, there's only three booths, man, but...
Well, then you got to get dibs on it early. Yeah.
So I've already got my booths gone. I've got my high tops gone. I've got, like, everybody is just looking to get back into play. So, yeah, if you guys haven't booked, please book. For our regulars that I know you're going to be there and stuff like that, like Shenanigans and that kind of stuff, you don't need to reach out. I know you're good. You're solid. But everybody else, like some of the other teams that play infrequently... please reach out or
message us at the Stage One Sound Facebook or send an email to stageonesound@yahoo.ca and one of us will respond and make sure that we get you a spot for Friday night because it is going to be busy.
Yeah. And so this week, as we do all weeks, you know, some teams reach out and they were like, you know, hey, I would love for you to do this or that or whatever. So I was talking with one of the team members from Answer I Hardly Know Her, which is a funny team name, but, and they were like, I love, and he was saying, like, I love the music, like grunge and alternative, kind of the Nirvana that we just played. And he's like, but I didn't like it when it was at first out, but I've really come to love it. And he's like, I didn't go into any of the Warped Tours or stuff, but I love the Warped Tour music. So the first round tomorrow night is called Let's Get Warped. So it's bands that have played at the Warped Tour. It's not necessarily songs that were played at the Warped Tour, but bands that played there. So, and for the most part, I've tried to make it easier because last week I know I had a couple of tough rounds.
One of the rounds was really hard last week.
Yeah, round number four, I had one of the teams come up and go, yeah, this is terrible.
It was hard.
It was hard. Well, yes and no. I guess more yes.
It's also hard when it was the last round. So by that time, people are tired and or some people have had a few drinks.
Yeah.
So maybe make the last round the easiest or something. Well, so I like when everybody sings the remainder of the song. It makes me laugh.
Yeah, me too. I do like that. So so first round tomorrow night is called Let's Get Warped. And then round number two is called Who Died? And it's kind of an homage to the show that's on before us. So last week when we were driving in, they were talking about, you know, songs from a funeral. So I picked the wackiest songs you might ever hear at a funeral. So This is what I went with. So that should be fun.
Okay.
So yeah, Who Died? And it's called Funeral Songs. And then round number three is Sweet Songs. So songs about sweetness.
Excellent.
And then the last song is called Alphabet Songs. So just starting at A and going for 20 songs, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. I thought they all had to have like A, B, C or something them. Oh, no. You're just running the alphabet.
I'm just running the alphabet. And
remember the time that we had the song spell out a secret message and it was something about Mark Riley, which is great. Mark Riley is a really great local insurance agent. Yeah, yeah. We just like to make fun of him.
That's not at all what
it's
it was.
It's not a secret message about Mark Riley?
No, it's not. It was just alphabet songs tomorrow night. So yeah, four great rounds. Great music. I took a lot of time to go through them and make sure I got it right and to have a lot of fun with them tomorrow night. Not that I don't every week, but I really spent a lot of time this weekend working on it because I had some spare time.
You have spare time? What's that like?
I'm kidding.
By spare time, he means he's doing this music at 7 o'clock in the morning when he's already been to the gym.
Yeah.
So I that's know. Not really spare time.
Well, something was cooking and I was, you know, whatever.
Doing music at the same time.
I was. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
I respect it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's basically Friday night for us. And then Saturday, let's talk about Saturday. You got Saturday kind of wrapped up.
I'm working all weekend. We're looking at a very busy real estate market this year, if the last couple of weeks are any indication, at least for me. And so I have a couple of listing appointments and a couple of showings and all sorts of stuff this weekend. So just I'm working for the most part on both Saturday and Sunday. Saturday night, though, we're going to do something really fun. I think we mentioned last week that we've started taking an improv class, which is hilarious. Actually, we're having a really great time. It's 2 hours a week where you can do nothing except for be silly. And it's really fun. We're having a good time with it. And there is an improv show this weekend on Saturday night locally in the place that I don't remember what it's called, but it's where Aunt Lucy's used to be.
Oh,
Princess.
I've got it on my phone.
I know, but we don't have it handy.
Yeah,
look it up. It used to be Aunt Lucy's and now there is a comedy club in there.
Yeah, it's the Indian Sports Bar is in the front and the comedy club's at the back.
Comedy club is behind it.
And it's $20 to get in. You can buy your tickets at the door. It's not sold out. It looks like it's going to be fun. So it's going to be an improv comedy battle. So they're dressing up in characters as well. So it should be so much fun.
It's going to be fun. We're going to go watch that.
This improv thing that we're doing is insane. I literally love it. In all honesty, I wasn't sure I was going to like it.
I also wasn't sure he was going to like it. But he's a good sport and he'll do anything that I suggest.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that about you.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Like this week past, I got to play so many different animals. I got to be a kangaroo and a panda, like a fat panda that talked. I got to, you know, it was so much fun.
It was fun. It's very silly, but it's very
fun. Snow angels. Yeah, and it literally is improv. You just got to come up with it in the moment. Don't think about it. Jump in. And I love our instructor. The Dan guy is great. Like he just jumps in and adds to it and stuff. And then he's like, pause. And then he'll change the whole scene up again. And yeah, it's so much fun.
It's really fun. We're having a good time with
that.
So we're doing that on Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, I have a client event coming up, which is exciting.
I'm so excited to see this movie.
For people who are part of our world or people who are part of our community, we're doing a private screening of the movie Better Man, which is the Robbie Williams movie.
Yeah, and I love Robbie Williams.
I mean, as well. Every time I hear his voice, it's melting.
Yeah.
It's really good. So we're doing that. And then I have more work appointments on Sunday afternoon. And at some point, we're going to do normal people stuff and clean the house and do groceries and laundry and all sorts of things. But just right back into it. Just think about it. 2 weeks ago, we were on a cruise ship.
I know.
And now we're right back in the freezing cold, in the thick of things.
Well, you sent me that message. You're like, it's so cold.
It was so cold this morning. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's funny because I wore shorts to the gym.
No, I was downtown freezing. And my face was freezing when I was walking around. So if we could go back to the time where it was 27 degrees and we were sitting in the ocean last week, that would be fantastic. However, we don't get to do that. We'll do that one day when we retire. That's what our winters are going to look like.
Yeah.
So we're also still promoting our Sum 41 contest.
I cannot wait. It's 2 weeks away.
Yes.
So it's Tuesday the 28th. the show has been moved ahead. I sent you that little message. It no longer starts at 7. It starts at 6:45. I don't know why they care to tell me that, but
it's funny because I also got something on our last flight that said the flight time had been delayed, and it was delayed by 3 minutes. I'm like, I'm good. I wouldn't have even noticed that we left 3 minutes. If we leave within 3 minutes of start time, that's an on-time flight.
Yeah, yeah. I guess for people, like, you know, it's important if they're booking a train or a plane or whatever to come in to see the show, and they think it's starting at 7, so they take a 6 o'clock train and they get there at 6:45 and the show's already started.
Just into opening acts.
Yeah.
No disrespect to opening acts. No, you're just into opening acts.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so we've got that.
So if you're interested in participating in the Sum 41 contest, the rules are posted on all of our socials. But if you want to look at our Facebook for Stage One Sound or Stage One Real Estate, if you want to come to the Lofoten Ale tomorrow night, we have an actual physical ballot box there. If you attend one of my open houses, if you message us, share, like, or comment Sum 41, you will be put in the contest.
Yeah, I'm so pumped. I can't wait to see these guys because I have a feeling they're... And I'm buying a concert shirt. Just, I'm telling you straight up, I'm getting one of their concert shirts.
What you need is another concert shirt.
Well, I have to get it because they're
Don't forget the one in, one out rule.
Yeah, I know. I hate that
So rule. We're trying to have less things. And so every time you buy a new thing, you have to either donate or get rid of an old thing. And don't say your wife. Because I can see your wheel spinning. Like, oh, okay. Like,
what old thing do I have around the house?
You can get rid of your wife if you want to.
No, I'm not getting rid of you.
All right. That's good. Okay. Let's keep moving with our bucket list concerts. You wanted to talk next about the Spirit of the West.
I do. I know we've beat this dog to death. And that's actually probably not a nice thing to say.
Don't say that.
But Spirit of the West is like one of my favorite Celtic bands, Canadian Celtic bands of all time. And I know Alan Cross is from his show. He's done a whole podcast, just tons of stuff about Spirit of the West and the Celtic, you know, kind of movement. I love Spirit of the West. And their song Home for a Rest has sometimes been called Canada's unofficial national anthem, which is kind of true. I mean,
yeah,
I love it when it starts and people don't recognize it and they're kind of like, oh, this is weird because you've gone from a really fast song to this kind of slow. And then the people start to like set up to as if they're going to slow dance. And then the other people who know it are like pushing people away going, all right, we're going, let's go. So I really love that song. And I mean, it's really sad because their lead singer did get Alzheimer's and literally just faded away. And it was really, really sad. I mean, their last concert that they ever performed was in April 2016, and it was at the Commodore Ballroom in Vancouver. And then the band performed a reunion set in 2017 at the Spirit of Canada and a benefit for Alzheimer's awareness. I mean, I just love the band. They were considered, Home for Rest actually was named the 22nd greatest Canadian song of all time on CBC's Radio 1 50 tracks. And it's the Canadian version in 2005. So there's been a couple of versions, obviously, of the song, but that one particularly. I mean, the band has also been named the best BC. The Home for Rest was also named BC's best song on some viral online poll. It's great. And I mean, you think about bands, how long, you know, they stay together. And I know their guitarist, Jeff Kelly, was once asked like a lot about the band. And he said, it's amazing that, you know, because most bands don't stay together beyond 3 to 4 years. And these guys were together for a really, really long time. And I think they'd still be together if, you know, if their lead singer hadn't passed away. But guys, this song for me is like a fantastic song. And it's not home for rest. It's And Venice Is Sinking. And I think I'm going to say it's in my top three of their songs. But again, another great catchy tune. So enjoy this one, guys. And we'll be back in a few minutes. We'll be right back.
faces hangs behind the glass above Venetian doors. His window box boasts crimson flowers fresh cut the day before. You couldn't find a smile if you nailed it to his face. Jesus Christ hangs his head with the race. Across the floor, all dressed in black. Candles, thick as pillars. You can buy one off the floor. And the ceiling's painted gold, and Mary's hair is red. The old come here to kiss their dead. And if Venice is sinking, I'm going on. We made love upon a bed, sagged down to the floor, in a room that had a postcard on the door of Marini's little man with an erection on a horse. It always leaves me laughing, leaves me feeling that of course if Venice is sinking, I'm going under. It's beauty's religion and it's bristly with wonder.
Was really interesting. It was very fulsome and orchestral.
Well, that was the purpose. I mean, I love that version of the entire song. It's great. I literally asked you if we could dance in the studio while it was playing.
I said, no, thank you, because I'm tired.
Yeah, but I really, I mean, it's not the typical version that you ever hear on the radio either, and you don't hear that intro and the fullness of it, but I really, really love it. I'm going to play a little bit of...
You have 12 seconds. There's no time to play some 41.
I have 1 minute. And yeah.
You're right. Sorry.
Yeah. So I'm going to warm us out here or play us out with a little Sum 41.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's do that. Come on, Sum 41. Where are you? Oh. I'm going to talk over it, though. So as we kind of close out the show, guys, I just want to say thanks. And we'll see you again tomorrow night, obviously, at Loaf and Ale. And if not, we'll see you hopefully at the comedy show, the improv comedy show. Anyway, guys, little Sum 41 here. We got about 30 seconds left, and enjoy.